Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Landon Tangwall. Landon, my friend, how are you doing this fine day?
Doing fantastic, Jim. It is Blue and White Week, man. We're ready to go along with all the other fans and the players. We're excited.
We are. This is our Blue-White game special. I'm looking forward to it to get your insight for it. But first, for you, Landon, this has got to be so different. You're going to Beaver Stadium, and you're not going to be on the field. You're going to be outside with me tailgating.
That's right, Jim. I'm excited, man. This is my first tailgate, really ever. I've never really been to a tailgate, high school, college, whatever. I never had too much time, so this will be my first tailgate ever. I'm excited to get all the experience and the rigors of a tailgate and the food and the drinks. It always sounded like a good time. I got a couple post game tailgates, but it's never the same as those pregame intense tailgates, Jim. So I'm ready to get it going this weekend.
Well, we hope not to disappoint you, Landon. I'm sure we won't. We'll have food. We'll have drink. We'll try not to drink too much. We'll try not to eat too much, but I'm not sure if we're going to succeed at either goal. But we shall try. All right. Well, let's talk about the actual game, Landon. It's different for you. You're not going to be in there. But let's talk about what this is like for the players. And just you and I have talked about this off air, but it's got to be really different for the guy who's been there for 4 years versus especially those early entry freshmen. They should still be in high school. They should still be getting ready for their high school prom, Landon. And now they're going to be running out there on Beaver Stadium field. What's it like for both those extremes?
Yeah, I think first off, those freshmen, they're just anxious to get in Beaver Stadium in front of people. They've been there a few times now, these Saturday, Friday practices where they do scrimmages in the spring. The coaches get them in there and try to just get them acclimated to Beaver Stadium and how big it is. Really, it's different going in there when you've played in a high school stadium your whole life. So they try to get you acclimated by bringing you in there. But without the fans, it really isn't the same. So I think a lot of these freshmen are really excited to get their first time in Beaver with 100,000 fans screaming their heads off. On the flip side of that, there is those sixth-year guys. I think we just have three this year, if I'm not mistaken, Sal Wormley, Devon Elise, and Hakeem Beeman. I'm not sure. Smith Vilbert might be a sixth-year too, I think. But those guys, they are chugging their way through spring ball gym, and they want to be done. They just got done a long, grueling 5-6 month season, and it was long. It was hard on their bodies. Playing college football for 5-6 years is not how your body is meant to feel. It's not your body's not supposed to go through that, and there's a reason why it's only so long. And then when you get to the NFL, they start to take care of your body a little bit more. But those guys, they're hurting. They're ready to be done. I can promise you that. There is a lot of smiles at the end of spring ball when it's over. And you're arm in arm singing the alma mater. There's a lot of happy guys. As much as they love, and we all love football, that spring football, it takes a toll on the body. And like, I mean, we've talked about it many times on the podcast of, you know, I think almost every single player would be in favor of not completely, you know, getting rid of spring ball, but kind of changing it over into more of a teaching, learning thing, get the freshmen and sophomores a lot more involved and give these older guys a little bit more of a rest. So I do think, and we'll get into this of what we expect, but I do expect to see some of these fifth year and sixth year guys get a little bit of a load taken off of their plate for this spring game and then give that opportunity to some of these younger guys we have not seen yet, let them shine a little bit in their first time in Beaver Stadium.
Well, it sounds like everybody's excited, but for different reasons. One, to get out on the field. The other is just to get it done and over with, and that's what the Blue-White game represents. You mentioned for the young players getting out and playing on such a big stadium and the feel for it. One thing I've noticed whenever I've been down low on the field is just how much the field is actually pitched from the middle of the field to the sidelines. Now, maybe at offensive line, it doesn't make much difference, but I would think as a receiver or a quarterback, there is a difference. I was amazed at how much pitch there actually was there, Landon.
Yeah, it's not something I think about too much, but it is. And the wide receivers and the DBs, all the skill positions, they'll change out their cleats when they're playing at Beaver Stadium, especially versus another field that is like turf and very flat. You're absolutely right. Beaver Stadium almost has, it is, it's almost like a little hump in the middle. Some people don't like it. Like I said, I didn't mind it too much. But guys will change their cleats out. They'll make sure they have extra studs in their cleats to really get a good grip on the ground. But that's a good observation, Jim. We'll have to bring that up to the head maintenance over there and see if they can maybe even it out a little bit. Which it is interesting though, because from my understanding, Penn State has like the best like turf and ground experts in any college around. Apparently, if you're going to study turf and grass, you're coming to Penn State. I don't know if you knew that, Jim, but figured a little fun fact. We have the top program around here.
I was aware of that, Landon, and I think one of the places where it's often seen is on golf courses. A lot of the courses, the grass that's being used was developed at Penn State. So, yes, that is another thing they're very good at. And I just assume, you know, that pitch on the field was for drainage, and, you know, that's part of what keeps it draining well. But anyway, that's a side note. I'm not sure too many people are interested in that. Let's talk about the game itself, and let's talk about, first of all, the players, Landon, that you will be looking for. That, again, those six-year guys doesn't really make – there's not much we're going to find out or learn about them here. Mm-hmm. But who are the guys you are going to be paying attention to?
Yeah, I think there's a couple guys on this list that we talked a little bit about last week, if you saw the 12 most important players to this Penn State football roster for 2024 is the show we did last week. Go check that out if you haven't watched it. We had a really fun time with that. But these players are a little different. These are people I'm excited to see. I'm anxious to see how they're going to perform. My first one is Abdul Carter. And I think if Abdul was still at linebacker, I don't think he would even be on this list. We know exactly what we're going to get from Abdul, an explosive, somewhat a linebacker that's playing with his hair on fire, that type of deal. Well, now he makes the transition over to defensive end. I'm excited to see him go up against either Nolan Rucci, Anthony Danka, a younger guy who's not as experienced, no matter who he goes against. It's going to be interesting to see, like I said, how he sets up his pass rush moves. How effective are his hands? Has he been working on his hands a lot this offseason throughout spring ball? I think the Penn State fans, along with us, would love to see him win a couple reps off the edge. And I think that would get people really excited going forward about what Abdul can be across from Deni. Like I said, we know what we have in Deni Sutton. Deni Dennis Sutton, he is going to be an absolute baller. It is whether or not he makes that big breakthrough into a top five defensive end in college football, or, you know, continues on as a very great defensive end. But I'm excited to see if he can make that next step. And if Abdul Carter can start to make a big impact at the other, on the opposite side at defensive end, I think it can take some of that pressure and take away some of those double teams that are going to come Deni's way, and just kind of take some of that load off Deni. So I'm really excited to see Abdul Carter, see how he has progressed at the defensive line position, at defensive end. It's a big transition, but I think he's ready. I think Coach Deion Barnes is going to have him ready, but I'm excited, and I know the whole fan base is excited to see it.
Oh, yes. I think that may be number one with an asterisk, with a star next to it. See how Abdul Carter does. I'll be curious to see how much he does play. And again, that's also got to be, you mentioned, you know, would it be Nolan Rucci, Anthony Danka? It could be multiple different guys at tackle. I think that's also going to be interesting to see from that perspective. If you're Anthony Danka, if you're Nolan Rucci, have you seen a guy like Abdul Carter right across from you? That's going to be a challenge on that side of the ball.
Yeah, that's a great point, Jim. And you're jumping ahead a little bit, Jim, here. We might get into that in a second. But I do actually, I want to hop back real quick and talk about how the blue and white game is set up. So in the past, how it has been is that the blue, and it, sometimes it changes depending on the color. That's not really important, but the blue team will be the ones and the threes about, and then the white team will be like the twos and the fours. So you will see. So there's a very good chance we might not, since Nolan Rucci and Anthony Donker are probably going to be the starting tackles, we very well might not see them against Abdul or Deny. Now that I'm thinking about it, we could see them against, you know, Alex Birchmeyer, Javen Williams, those type of guys. So, you know, you get to see younger guys go up against some older talent, which is exciting, especially if they're able to flash. Now, I don't know if that's the same format for this year, but I did want to throw that out there. That is how it has been in years past. So I wouldn't expect them to change it up too much. And that allows then for, you know, when those ones and twos start to play for a little bit, okay, now we can start to get those threes and fours in and see what we have in these younger guys and see what kind of depth we'll have throughout the season. But I just wanted to give that overview. Getting into my next player that I am excited slash anxious to see is Zion Tracy. Cornerback headed into his second year. He had one start, which was the Peach Bowl. And we kind of know how that went. Having to go up against Lane Kiffin's air raid offense with an elite quarterback in Jackson Dart and some really talented wide receivers is not an ideal first start, Jim. You know, he was put in a tough situation and, you know, didn't do the best. But this is an athletic kid who was injured when he first got here, came in and worked his butt off, worked his way up the depth chart to even be in position to where, hey, Johnny Dixon and Kalen King are out. You and Cam Miller, you are young pups, but you guys are up. You're starting against the best passing attack in college football. And I think they don't get enough credit for how they held up. I mean, granted, they had their way in the air over the game. But like I said, it is not easy as two true freshmen to be on both ends and holding it down. So I think this is someone that had a lot more time to grow. That's, you know, have some mistakes to learn from, especially being in that game. Sometimes it's nice to go into an off season where you were challenged a little bit at the end of the season. And you almost feel like, hey, I got something to prove. I'm going to put my best foot forward and not only show this fan base, but show my teammates, these players, these coaches, what I have up my sleeve headed into next season. So I am really excited to see Zion Tracy and how he's going to perform in this spring game, and someone I think who's going to get a lot of reps.
And, you know, we've talked about this a lot, the performance in the Peach Bowl, and I've said this before, and I'm sure I'm going to say it again. I put that performance more on Ole Miss's offense than I do on those cornerbacks from Penn State, because I thought with just a few exceptions, they were pretty much in the right position. They were where they were supposed to be, but quarterback and receivers, they just played outstanding that game. Landon, that's going to be it for quarter one. I know you have a lot more players on your list. We'll get to them in quarter number two. Are you ready to elevate your game day experience? Then it's time for turnkey tailgating with Revel XP. You get to tailgate close to Beaver Stadium with our exclusive area next to the soccer field. Revel XP will provide the tent, the chairs, table, even the cooler and ice. We even partner with local food and beverage providers to cater your tailgate event. As someone has enjoyed tailgating with Revel XP, I know you're going to love it. Go to RevelXP.com for more info.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number two. He's Landon Tengwall. I'm Jim Galati. This is our special blue-white spring game show, Landon, and we're having some fun with it, talking about some of the players that you pointed out that we should be looking for at the top of the list. Abdul Carter, that's interesting. Now, you mentioned, you know, he may not be going up against the number ones. He might be going up against the number twos. Candidly, that might be as interesting or more so to see. I want to see Javen Williams against them. I want to see the young guys, these young tackles who are coming up. And, you know, I'm sure they've seen enough of Abdul Carter in practice, but we don't get to see that. I'd like to see that in a game and see how they hold up, not to mention against Denai Dennis Sutton also. So that'll be interesting. All right, let's get back to your list, Landon. Who else do you have that you are really anxious to see?
Yeah, I'm really excited, Jim, to see, and I paired these two guys together because I think they're so similar. Jalen Kimber and AJ Harris, two cornerbacks that we brought in from the transfer portal and don't really know a ton about them. These are two really talented guys, both highly rated, brought them in. And like I said, didn't do a ton at their previous schools, but guys that are clearly have the athleticism, they have the talent. They were really, really great in high school, great early in their career, but now can we put it all together? I think you look at someone like, people forget, Johnny Dixon actually was a transfer. I think some people, because he transferred after his freshman year, they just thought he was right into Penn State. Johnny Dixon came in and kind of had that year lull where it took him a little bit to get into, you know, into the program and get really involved. He was behind Joey Porter and Kalen and a couple other guys. But so it took him a little bit of time. So I am curious to see, is it going to be similar with these two guys, or can they come in and make a high impact? You know, we got them out of the portal, probably spent a little bit of money on them. Are we going to be able to make a good return on that investment right away? Or are they someone that they see, hey, this might take a little bit? Now, granted, I was just speaking to Johnny Dixon, but on the flip side, that was when we had some veteran cornerbacks when he came in. Now they're coming in and fighting against two guys we just talked about, Cam Miller and Zion Tracy, who I think are both very talented young dudes, but they're young, man. They both had their pretty much their first and only start in the bowl game because they were needed to. They had to step up. So I think there's a fight between those four, maybe even five guys. You add in Elliot Washington, a couple other young bucks at cornerback. There's going to be a good fight for this cornerback position in the top two or three guys. And we talked about this before, Jim. When there's that much competition, it does a couple things for a team. One, it creates depth because those guys that don't win out the battle, well, you just had someone that was almost able to start for you, but now they're a backup. So if they are needed to come in later in the season for injury or if someone's not playing up to the standard, you say, hey, I have someone that is capable of stepping into this role and we know can play at a high level. So, you know, number one, it does that. And then number two, it just makes everybody better. When you are pushing each other, and like I said, I can definitely attest to this. My second year, I was basically competing against Hunter Norzad for that left guard spot. And it made me come in every single day with a different mindset. If I just had that job locked up and I'm like, you know, hey, I'm starting no matter what, I guarantee you I wouldn't have had the same mindset every day going into spring ball, going into camp that I did have. So it brings out the best in everyone. And that is completely true about competition. And that is something that Coach Franklin harps on big time, is competing in every single thing you do. So I think we're going to see a lot more out of that, out of these corners, but I am excited to see these guys. We haven't gotten a really good look at either of them yet, just a couple spring practice clips. So let's get these guys out there. Let's get them a decent amount of reps and let's see what they're about, Jim. Are they athletic? Can they make plays on the ball? You know, how are they attacking the ball? I'm excited to see it against a group of wide receivers that, you know, aren't exactly super impressive yet. So we'll see how they go up against them, Jim. Should be fun.
Well, you had almost a complete changeover in that cornerback room, but it was interesting you mentioned Johnny Dixon. A name you didn't mention might be similar to Johnny Dixon was it Audavius Collins, who came in last year. We didn't hear much about him that first year. Sounds like Johnny Dixon. So, you know, might he be able to make an impression now in his second go round?
That's a good point. Some people forget we call him AC, Adavian Collins. AC, he's a baller, man. He's a fast kid. And exactly like you said, sometimes it takes that year to get kind of acclimated in a program. Obviously, we're switching up the schemes a little bit, although I don't think Tom Allen is, you know, for example, what Andy Kotoniki is to Mike Yurcich is a huge difference compared to what Tom Allen is to Manny Diaz. I don't think it's going to be as much of a identity overhaul that we're going to see on offense. So I think it's going to be a little bit easier for these defensive guys to adjust. But just having that year in the same program at Penn State, I think that gives AC a little time to get comfortable. But look, Jim, this fight for cornerback is like 5, 6, even 7-man deep. I mean, I think you have six, almost seven guys that you're looking at and saying, hey, it's all about who steps up and who shows themselves. And little things, too, that the fans don't hear about, man. Going to class, making sure you have the correct weight that the nutritionist and that that our coaches are setting. Hey, I want you at this weight. If you don't get to that, or you're messing off in class, you're missing study hall, those are those little things that keep you from off the field that we don't really hear about as fans. And I think that I bring up these little points because I think it is so close between all of them. It's almost like a draft board. You're just looking for little things to drop a guy because you have to look for those things. If you don't, you know, you can't start six cornerbacks. So like I said, it's nice to have that depth. But I, like you said, Elliott Washington, AC, Zion Tracy, Cam Miller, Jalen Timber, AJ Harris. I mean, I'm naming 6-7 guys that can all play on this team at cornerback. So it should be really exciting. And we haven't even gotten another name we're going to get to a little bit that's hopping in that slot corner, that nickel position that I'm excited to talk about. We'll get into that later. But a lot of guys at this cornerback position.
I wanted to ask you about, you started the conversation with Jalen Timber and AJ Harris. And it's fascinating to me. Both came in from Southeast Conference schools. So that's a plus. You think a lot of them. But Kimber is that veteran who has a lot of experience. AJ Harris is that younger guy, but I think he came out as a 5-star, so there's highly rated. And what I've found intriguing is the reaction either from some folks in the media, some of the fans. Some of them are gravitating, oh, AJ Harris, 5-star guy, he's going to be starting. Others are Jalen Kimber. Oh, starting experience and lots of experience in the Southeast Conference. That's going to be the guy. And I've been fascinated about the different takes that fans have had who have seen nothing on the practice field and also media the same way. I'm not sure what to make of those two.
Yeah, honestly, I would agree with you there too, Jim. I don't really have a stance on that of one way or the other. That's kind of why I lumped them together as though they're a little bit different, like you said. They're pretty similar to me. It's going to be interesting. They both have a lot of talent, and there is that flip side of having experience, a lot of in-game experience, but then that young talent can sometimes outweigh that. But, you know, it's all about how people adjust too. If someone comes in, let's just say, and I haven't really talked to either of these guys, but if one of them is in here and they're not comfortable in Penn State and they don't really like a coach or whatever it may be, I'm just making scenarios up. Those little things can affect how you go. You might say, hey, Jalen Kimber obviously has the head start because he's older, because he has these starts under his belt. Well, maybe he's just not acclimating as well. And then AJ Harris steps up. So like I said, these are all, I'm just kind of making stuff up, but those are those little things that factor in. And like I said, I am really excited. And I think outside, and honestly, not outside of any position group, I think cornerback is the biggest where everybody's eyes are going to be this spring. I think everybody understands we lost all those guys. We saw what happened to us in the Peach Bowl, and a lot of people equated that to the fact of we were really weak at cornerback. So I think a lot of these eyes from these fans and opposing, you know, I would go around West Virginia, especially whoever you're playing week one, they're looking for that spring ball tape, and they're getting it in there. Their players, their coaches are watching that intensely. They're trying to get every little tidbit they can get. And part of that is looking at these especially new position groups where you essentially have a full overhaul. So a lot of people are going to be watching this cornerback group. It should be interesting, Jim, to see how it pans out. But I'm excited for these two guys that we brought out of the portal and then obviously some young bucks that are competing against them.
All right, let's stay on the defensive side of the ball. Instead of just randomly letting you pick out, give us names, I want to hit the linebacker position. Because we in talking about cornerback, what we had was three cornerbacks are going to the NFL. You had three NFL caliber players. That's a lot to lose. The linebacker room is losing two out of three players who are NFL caliber players. One, you know, Curtis Jacobs going to the NFL, and the other, Abdul Carter, going to defensive end. What are you looking for among those players? Who are you looking for also?
Yeah, so one guy we've talked about previously is Kobe King. That is someone who, honestly, I think could sit a little bit, could not see that much time. We know what we have in Kobe King. He is a lockdown middle linebacker that's going to come up, make sure tackles. create a splash play here or there, but he is the guy that you're going to look at the stat sheet at the end of the game, and you're going to say, oh, there's Kobe King again for the seventh straight game at the top in tackles. So I don't think we need to see a ton from him. We know what we have. I'm excited to see Tony Rojas in a position where he needs to be a star. And we talked about this last week on the podcast. It is difficult for these guys when they make a jump from year one, where they're able to come in, not a lot of pressure on them, come in games where we're already up 3-4 touchdowns and make a couple fun splash plays. That's what we saw from Tony Rojas. But now that weight shifts over from Curtis Jacobs' shoulders and Abdul Carter's shoulders. It's on young Tony Rojas. He needs to perform, and he's going to need to be the stud of this linebacking core. And honestly, you think back, Jim, we've had some studs in this linebacker room for a long time straight. I mean, Micah, Brandon Smith, you keep going. Curtis Jacobs then came up and just really always had talented guys. And like I said, I think Kobe King is going to lock down that middle and honestly help out these younger guys that are going to be at Will and Sam Backer. I think having a sure, level-headed middle linebacker that's calling the defense is definitely going to benefit these guys. But Kobe King isn't going to be the star of this defense. Tony Rojas has that ability to do that. Now, the question is he going to access his ability to do that? Is he going to be, you know, one step ahead of these guys? Because that's where that athletic ability and that pure talent that he has, that's where it can really come out when you are one step ahead of your opponent. You're doing a ton of film study, all that type of stuff. Tony Rojas obviously knows our offense. They've won against it all spring ball. So I want to see him put this all together and kind of just fly all over the field, similar fashion to how KJ Winston's all over the field. I think Tony Rojas can do that from the linebacker position, but he needs to now put it all together.
All right, Landon, that is it for quarter number two. When we come back, I'm going to ask you about linebacker depth. We'll talk about that when we come back. Are you ready to elevate your game day experience? Then it's time for turnkey tailgating with Revel XP. You get to tailgate close to Beaver Stadium with our exclusive area next to the soccer field. Revel XP will provide the tent, the chairs, table, even the cooler and ice. We even partner with local food and beverage providers to cater your tailgate event. As someone has enjoyed tailgating with Revel XP, I know you're going to love it. Go to revelxp.com for more info.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. He's Landon. I'm Jim. This is our blue-white game special. What to look for when we go into the game. We've been mostly focusing on the defense. Want to finish up over there, Landon. I was asking about the linebackers in general. You talked about Kobe King. He's just rock solid. That's what you're going to get from him at middle linebacker. Tony Rojas, he's the guy that we're going to look to flash. And even with James Franklin's press conference, it sounded like he was even talking about, okay, there's the two sure things. Those are the given. Mm-hmm. The question becomes, what then? And I know some of it's going to be a 4-2 defense where we're going to have, say, a third safety on the field. And why not? The safeties are fantastic. Mm-hmm. But there's still got to be more linebackers. Players get rotated on defense. Who are the guys? We have our old friend, old reliable Dom DeLuca. And then there's some young guys looking to make a name for themselves. Who among them should we be looking for?
Yeah, I think first off, some of these young guys, Kevion Keys is a guy to watch out for. Really fast linebacker, talented, strong, hasn't put it all together yet. But I think that's someone this past spring, these 15 practices was really vital for him to start to get going and start to, like I said, put it all together in a sense of, okay, I'm comfortable now. I'm anticipating instead of just reacting. So him I'm excited for. Keon Wiley is someone who's been here for a couple years now, really talented kid, and someone that, you know, once again, just hasn't put it all together yet. And you never know exactly what that is that they need to do to take that next step. But a lot of times those guys take that next step in spring ball, and then the fans get to see it on the spring game. But Jim, you said his name. I'm going in for it. He's my roommate. He's one of my best friends. I think the guy we got to watch for is Dom DeLuca. And if everybody thinks back to 2 years ago, Dom DeLuca kind of had his coming out party in the spring game when it was Drew Aller's first spring game. And Drew Aller, I think, actually threw two picks to Dom DeLuca. So people were a little bit worried about Drew. We all told everybody, don't worry, he's going to be fine. Comes back and, you know, 25 TDs and a couple interceptions. I think that was a pretty good season. But saying all that to say, Dom DeLuca is going to be the heart and soul of the of this linebacker unit from a standpoint of being able to jump around, providing that spark where he can come in at will, he can come in at Sam, he can play either. He has played both in his past. You know, it's one of those games if, say, young Tony Rojas is struggling, hey, we can turn to a veteran who is rock solid. He's going to come in, he's going to do his job, he's going to play with aggression. Dom DeLuca is someone I would continue to look out for, and it's hard not to, Jim, when he jumps out almost every single play, because if he makes a tackle, it is a hard tackle. Everybody in the stadium hears it, and then he's going to get up and scream about it and let you know about it. So I that was, you know, even take away him being my guy, one of my best friends, my roommate, I am really excited to watch Dom DeLuca just as a fan, because I know what he provides to this team and this defense, being one of the captains, set aside special teams and what he does there, flying down on kickoff and making tackles, all that stuff that's very impactful that I think kind of goes over people's heads sometimes and people miss. But now at this linebacking position, he has a chance to hop in and make a real impact. And honestly, Jim, I'd say Dom DeLuca has a chance to fight for a starting role with where we are at in this linebacking unit. I don't think it looked like that a couple months ago, but with Abdul Carter making this change, Tony Rojas is still young. There's still some question marks about the other, about the Sam position, who's going to start there. So, you know, I'm really excited to see Dom and see if he can make this step from a fantastic role player on defense, who's a star on special teams, to now being one of the star guys on defense and continuing making those added contributions on special teams. But he has the ability to do it, and he knows the game of football. His football IQ is incredibly high, but it's now, Can he, once again, the theme is, can these guys put it all together? But that really is what spring ball is about, Jim, is adding on those final little pieces of your game and seeing if you can make it all work together as far as, you know, your mindset, your football IQ, and, you know, anticipating instead of reacting, and then just going out there and just using that athleticism, being a baller, making those plays.
Well, here's the thing, too, in talking about defense, just kind of to put a bow on it, a year ago, and actually the last couple of years, whenever I've talked about this defense, it almost doesn't make sense to talk about, oh, he's the starter and he's the number two, because so many players have rotated in. I always said last season it felt like there were 20 starters, and it didn't really matter who was on the field for the first play. There were a lot of guys getting a lot of reps. And Manny Diaz would just mix and match as necessary. So I almost, you know, you talked about the numbers at cornerback. We talk about at safety that there's going to be depth there. It's just a question of who are the new guys who are going to come up and start to play a role. So, Landon, we've spent a lot of time on the defense. Do you have anybody else that you want to look at on defense, or should we switch it over to the offensive side?
Let's head over to the offensive side. Real quick, I will say, though, two guys I want to mention. Yeah. Jalen Reed at slot cornerback at the nickel position. I'm really excited. We call it the line position. That's going to be new for him. It's a good way to get all three safeties on the field. KJ Winston, Zaki Wheatley, Jalen Reed, all on the field is a winning it's a winning recipe for Penn State. And then Jameel Lines, Penn State's young defensive end, headed into his second year, didn't get a ton of opportunity, a ton of looks. But this is a kid who is big, 6'4", 6'5", very strong. Talk to some of these younger offensive linemen that have went against him. It's not fun pulling on him. He had a couple splash plays in some of those earlier games where all those younger guys got to get in. Really excited for his future here. But no, let's hop into these offensive players. And honestly, my biggest one, and I think a lot of people's biggest one here, Jim, is this wide receiver position. And I'm looking right at Julian Fleming. Really good kid. I've had the opportunity to have lunch with him a couple of times, sit down with him. I love him as a person. Some people have, you know, created certain narratives about him because he went to the school up north there at Ohio State, but really is a great guy. I can absolutely confirm that. And I am excited for his career here at Penn State. Came in, I think he dropped a couple pounds. The staff wanted him to shed off a couple pounds so he can be a little bit faster, but has made a good impact. And it seems like She is meshing well with Drew Adler, and I think that's exactly what Drew needs. When we talked a couple weeks ago about what Drew needs, is he needs a target that can help him out, can go up and get those balls, can bail him out a little bit if he's giving them a not-so-great ball where he doesn't need to be perfect in every scenario. So I'm really excited to see Julian get going, and I think Julian's excited for himself. He has the opportunity to be a number one guy, and we know the type of wide receivers that are produced at Ohio State. He never really had the opportunity to be the guy there. Comes to Penn State, wide receiver room is really lacking, and a star quarterback just begging for some help. He walks into this spot. He has a great opportunity in front of him, Jim, and it's time to get it kicking here this Saturday up in Beaver Stadium.
That's a great point, and I like that you talked about what he was up against that in Ohio State. There were so many stars there, and not only can he excel here, be a number one, but he also could be the leader of that room. He could be the guy in charge there, if you will, the guy who sets the tone. And I've found it fascinating. It seems like every conversation about him, the word maturity is used. And I'm not sure if it was talking more about him or it was talking about the lack of that with the rest of the receivers. While you're talking receiver, though, I do want to ask one more question there. I think we all assume Keandre Lambert-Smith, Trey Wallace, as long as he could stay healthy, Julian Fleming. Those would be the first three guys. Then there are just a bunch of players, some great athletes, some bigger guys, some shiftier guys. Who are you looking for among that next group, Landon, that might be a guy who could step up?
This is someone I didn't write a whole lot about, but I put him in my honorable mentions for someone I was really excited and anxious to see, is Caden Saunders. Had the only touchdown in the Ohio State game last year, is a real shifty wide receiver out of that slot. Now, he's a smaller guy, but a really talented route runner and understands the game well, understands leverage, and knows how to set up a cornerback to make a good move off of them. A lot of these wide receivers have struggled with drops, with catching the ball. That happened a little bit to him last year, but I think he's someone that we can see kind of emerge from this pack of a crowded back half of that wide receiver room where no one really knows who's going to step up. My pick for that is absolutely Caden Saunders. I'm excited for him. Also, keep an eye on Amari Evans, really talented, fastest guy in the wide receiver room. And if anybody remembers last year, scored a touchdown in the spring game, did his dance, and then Coach Franklin began to yell at him and make him do up downs, and they put him on the Jumbotron and I think on Big Ten Network after he scored doing up downs. So hopefully we see some more celebrations and up downs from Amari Evans this spring ball around.
That's a tough way to get more TV time. The touchdown part was great. The rest of it, maybe not so. Let's talk about your favorite position. Let's talk about the offensive line. Both tackles gone, the center gone, so not a lot of new faces, new names, Landon. Anyone stick out to you that you're looking for?
Yeah, my biggest one is Nolan Rucci for sure. There's a couple other guys, but, you know, hasn't seen a ton of action, got to play in Wisconsin's bowl game, and did pretty well against some talented edge rushers. But, you know, this is someone who came in, needed to put a little bit more weight on, needed to kind of fine-tune some technique skills with Coach Troutwine, who's the best in the business, and we've talked about him a lot. He is one of the best up-and-coming coaches and can get a lot out of his players. So I think coming into a situation where Coach Troutwine is his coach was a fantastic spot for him to go. But, you know, can he now put it all together? And I don't know who we're going to see him up against. We talked about that earlier. But I would love to get him some reps against the Nye, against Abdul, which he has been getting all spring. I'm sure of that. You know, a lot of 1v1s in the spring, 2v2s, that type of thing. And I think we're going to see him a lot at left tackle because it was mentioned that he is playing left and right tackle. I saw him say that to the media this past Wednesday. And then obviously Drew Shelton is out. So it's looking like those initial tackles will be Rucci at left tackle, Anthony Donk at right tackle, for the ones with Drew Aller back there. So I'm excited to see how they protect him, how they can hold up this pocket. I'm kind of including Anthony Donka in there too. I had him wrote down. We have talked about him a lot recently, but someone who the ceiling is so high for this kid, Anthony Donka, we need him to also, like I said, put it all together. It's time to take that strength, those long arms, that athletic ability, But, you know, it takes some fine tuning. It takes some time to sculpt that all into something. And we've seen that's kind of what we saw with Olu a couple of years ago when he had a great bowl game, but came in the spring. And that spring was huge for him. I mean, he was locking guys down. Everybody knew this kid is, wow, this kid's going to have an insane year next year. And kind of, it was almost like our little secret as a team, knowing what Olu was going to be. I hope we can get something out of that with Nolan Rucci and Anthony Dunk. I hope they can both be big time tackles for this Penn State offense.
All right. That's it for quarter number three. When we come back, you may have a couple more offensive guys, but I want to ask you about the coordinators. We'll do that when we come back.
Are you ready to elevate your game day experience? Then it's time for turnkey tailgating with Revel XP. You get to tailgate close to Beaver Stadium with our exclusive area next to the soccer field. Revel XP will provide the tent, the chairs, table, even the cooler and ice. We even partner with local food and beverage providers to cater your tailgate event. As someone has enjoyed tailgating with Revel XP, I know you're going to love it. Go to RevelXP.com for more info.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. He's Landon. I'm Jim. This is our blue-white game special. Landon's giving us the preview, what to look for. And Landon, we've been talking about players, and we'll get back to that, but I wanted to make sure we got it in here. There are two new coordinators. Well, no, obviously, Andy Kotelnicki on offense, Tom Allen on defense. And first of all, we know they're not going to show us everything, okay? As you mentioned, there's the opponent teams. They are watching this tape. They're looking for everything they could find, but there's got to be some things to look for as a fan. Let's start with Kotelnicki on the offensive side. What should we be looking for that would say, okay, there's one of the differences we're going to see this season with Andy Kotelnicki versus Mike Yurcich?
The first thing I think the fans need to look for is how the QB is utilized in the run and pass game, really. It's something we've seen a lot from these tapes. Our guy T. Frank, some other reporters have been at practices, and we're seeing a lot of Drew Aller doing these running drills, option pitch drills, read option, which you have been very vocal about, Jim, that you want that read option to be on 100% of the time, and he can't just be handed it off with no option to pull it. So, you know, obviously there's not going to be any tackling of any quarterbacks, but I'm excited to see how he incorporated this, you know, ability of these quarterbacks being mobile into his offense. And I definitely think there's going to be a lot of options. I think there's going to be a lot of pitch options. And I even spoke previously, and I don't know how much they're going to show of maybe some wide receivers running some orbit options where they're essentially running behind Drew Aller, and then he hikes it, maybe fake, can either hand it off to the running back or pull it. And now it's essentially a triple option where it's, you know, he can hand it off, now he can pull it and run it, but he also has a slot wide receiver, maybe a running back, to now he can pitch it too. And that stretches out the defense, puts some stress on them. Like I said, if that's something that we're going to be running a lot of, I do think that's something that they will show in the spring. We're not going to see any type of specialty plays, which I think Andy Kotelnicki has a lot of. I think we have some really cool plays in that these fans won't get to see until the fall. But really, you know, as a takeaway for these fans, I would just look at how this offense is operating. Are they trying to get outside a lot? Are they creating explosive plays through, we talked about, pin and pull, getting Nick Singleton outside, those quick screens? Andy Kotelnicki loves a bunch of different variations of screens. And like I said, I don't think we're going to see anything that's too creative. Don't want to show our hand to West Virginia and some of those earlier teams. But and Nick Singleton even said this in his presser on Wednesday, that this is going to be a whole new look offense. It is not going to look the same. And we talked about how between Kirk Soraka and Mike Yurcich, how the offense really didn't look that different. It was pretty much the same stuff. I think it's a complete overhaul. We're going to see a completely different offensive playbook. And then I'm also excited to see is how can he scheme up these wide receivers and tight ends to really get open? I think you look around college football, and sometimes you'll watch Ohio State and some of these other teams, and you just say, these guys are just wide open. I mean, how are they? How is Marvin Harrison able to just get this open? Well, that's just the scheme. That's the offensive coordinator. That's understanding what kind of defense you're going against and what are they going to give you, what they're giving me, and then how I can take advantage of that. So those are all things to look for from Andy Kotoniki. Like you said, we're not going to see a ton of trick plays and a ton of brand new stuff, but I think the offense as a whole is just going to look completely different. And I'm excited to see it. I know all the fans are, and we want to see some explosive plays, Jim. We want to see Nick Singleton taking off for 60 yards down the sideline. So I hope we get to see it and light Beaver Stadium up and make it electric in there.
We definitely want to see that. And we want to see a pulling guard leading the way, Landon, like you would do. Let's go to the defensive side now. We have Tom Allen as the new defensive coordinator. There were some things that we really got conditioned to seeing from Manny Diaz, and I can't recall how much of it he showed us in the spring game. But with Tom Allen, is there anything specific you're looking for that we might be a bit of an indicator of what we're going to see come the fall?
Yeah, I would say things like seeing how often we blitz. There's not, especially from a defensive standpoint, you're absolutely not going to show any type of specialty blitz, a lot of like disguised coverages, that type of thing that you're going to bring out against a big time team like Ohio State, a Washington, USC. You want to keep those in your back pocket. So we're going to see a lot of plain coverages. It's what you see is what you're going to get. I don't think he's going to bring any exotic blitzes. For example, didn't really do a ton out of that 7-up defense last year or 2 years ago when Manny Diaz got here. He kind of wanted to keep that in the back pocket so people weren't able to study that. I think you saw some teams were really effective against it when we ran that. The 7-up look in some teams, it gave them nightmares. But Manny Diaz did a good job of not really showing his hand on that one too early. So I think more so, I think you'll be able to take away more from how different the offense is than how different the defense is from this game. Like I said, I think to really see how different a defense is, you need to see the whole picture. And Tom Allen just isn't going to give us that whole picture because you just don't want to give that ability to West Virginia to be able to see that and have that ready for week one. You want them to come in and on that first third down, then be prepared for, you know, these four blitzes. And then all of a sudden, you bring this random blitz they've never seen before. They're not ready. Their head's spinning. You do not want to afford them that opportunity to study that. So I don't think you'll see too much different out of the defense. It'll look pretty normal to the naked eye. But maybe look for a couple different blitzes that they'll bring and how they utilize different players. Jalen Reed, how they utilize Abdul Carter. Is he going to be floating around a little bit on the edge? What's that going to look like? Those little things.
Might we see that three safety look as kind of a base look, not something special, not just on third down, but this from first down on, we might be seeing that.
Yeah, I would be really excited. And I think the fans would love to see something like that. And honestly, it's one of those things where you can bring one of those safeties, might play a little bit of a Sam role. I mean, that's kind of what nickel is when you play that nickel position, which Jalen Reed, it's basically been said, it looks like that's where Jalen Reed is going to be. It's almost like a smaller linebacker. So it's fun having Jalen Reed down in the box where he can create plays. I think you see him create a lot more turnovers too, Jim. Being impactful as far as forced fumbles, being in the way, more interceptions. I am really excited to see how we utilize him. And then with that, now you bring Zaki on the field 100% of the time, who is the best playmaker. It's hard when you have someone of that playmaking capability to keep him off the field. It hurts because you say, hey, he might not necessarily be the best because Jalen Reed and Kevin Winston are just that good. It's not Zaki could start on really any team in the Big Ten or in the nation. But to keep that type of playmaker off the field hurts. So I think they came in, Coach Franklin, Tom Allen, and the guys. They said, how can we get all three of these guys on the field at once? And I think the easiest answer to that was putting Jalen Reed at that nickel position, which what we call our lion position, and kind of let him roam around a little bit. Let him play that Polamalu-type-esque feel on defense where he's on the line. He's backed off. He's all the way at safety. You know, he's lined up essentially at Sam, that type of deal. But I think we could see a lot of 4-2 as far as the four defensive linemen down, and then Kobe King and Tony Rojas, and you kind of have those safeties interchangeably mixing around. And honestly, I'd even love to see Kevin Winston come down a little bit, play around the line, all of them. I think Zaki's probably better off staying a little further back just because he's so long and can cover so much ground. He is really, you know, versatile back there, and that's where he plays his best. But let Kevin Winston, let Jalen Reed, let them come up, play around, make some plays, and give these fans something to be excited about, Jim.
Well, the key word there, I think, is playmaker, and getting more playmakers on the field. And the three that you mentioned at safety certainly qualify. All right, Landon, let's talk about those early entry freshmen, the ones who should be, you know, asking Susie to the high school prom instead of being out on Beaver Stadium. Are there any of those players that you're particularly anxious to see?
Yeah, I'm really excited to see young Luke Reynolds at tight end. Reminds me a lot of Tyler Warren when he first came in. Didn't have a great blocking ability. Definitely did not have enough weight on him, which was the same for both of those guys, but really talented in the receiving game, sure hands, and a really great route runner. So I'm kind of excited to see. I think we'll get a feel from this spring game. Is he going to make an impact as a true freshman? Are we going to see him in some games? Or is this guy that we're going to kind of put in the back seat, let him learn from Tyler Warren, let Khalil Dinkins and the rest of the group step up and kind of play that tight end two, tight end three role? Or is this someone that's going to be in the mix? So I'm really excited to see Luke Reynolds. Obviously, we know he's a five-star, big-time guy. Let's see how he fares in his first action in Beaver Stadium, Jim.
The other name that we keep hearing so much about among the true freshmen is Cooper Cousins, and he's playing an important position at center along with your buddy Nick Dawkins. Is there something – I'm confident that we'll see Cooper Cousins on the field. What should we be looking for, especially at the center position? Is there anything you, as an offensive lineman, you could tell us as fans to look for when he's on the field?
Yeah, the number one thing I'm excited to see from Cooper is going against some older guys. So we talked about Nick Dawkins is obviously going to be that starting center initially. But and what I said earlier is those ones and threes kind of go versus those twos and fours. Well, I think Cooper Cousins is shaping out to be the number two guy at center right now. So it looks like we'll get to see him against some veteran guys, Devon Elise, Zane Durant, Hakeem Beamon. Going against those guys in your first start in Beaver Stadium, it should be really fun to see how he handles that. And I think that gives us a good measure of where we're going from there with Cooper Cousins. If you step back and you say, wow, this kid has been here for 15 practices and he either just held his own or at all, you know, manhandled or put some work in on any of those veteran guys, I would be extremely excited about that because from a physicality standpoint, coming in as a young freshman is really difficult. So I'm excited to see him go up against some really talented older guys, see if he can hold his own. If he can, Jim, this is one of my favorites to get some really big playing time next year and then be one of the staples of this offensive line for years to come.
All right, Landon, thank you so much for our preview for the blue-white game. That's coming up on Saturday. Can't wait to see the players back on the field. And Landon, more important than that, can't wait to see you outside of Beaver Stadium at our tailgate. We'll have some great food. We'll have some great drinks. We'll have ourselves a really good time. That's the part that I am really looking forward to. And thank you all for listening to our show. Next week when we have Landon back, we'll be doing our review of the blue-white game. We'll see you then.
Are you ready to elevate your game day experience? Then it's time for turnkey tailgating with Revel XP. You get to tailgate close to Beaver Stadium with our exclusive area next to the soccer field. Revel XP will provide the tent, the chairs, table, even the cooler and ice. We even partner with local food and beverage providers to cater your tailgate event. As someone has enjoyed tailgating with Revel XP, I know you're going to love it. Go to RevelXP.com for more info.